At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Levler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
All right, so my guest this morning is Matt Arendt. He's an assistant civil engineer with Suffolk County's Department of Public Works. He's the president of the DPW Sanitation White Unit. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Dan.
So let's start, I guess, with a little bit of your background, you know, where you came from and what your career was like leading into the roles that you have now, both at Public Works and on the union side.
Okay, sure. So I went to school at Suffolk Community College, and then once I finished up my associate's degree there, I moved on to Stony Brook. While I was at Stony Brook, I was taking civil service tests. I had passed the engineering aid test,
right,
and was offered a position with DPW.
Right.
So I figured I had to pay my way through college. I didn't really have good funds working part-time, so
sure.
I jumped right in. And that was in 2015 when I started with the county.
Yeah, yeah. And so in the engineering aid, just, you know, knowing the background coming from the same department, that was kind of like the entry-level position, so to speak. I think it was grade 12 at the time. And working yourself up to assistant civil engineer, grade 23, a lot more tests, a lot more proving yourself, and a lot more like work responsibility.
That's right. That's right. A lot more. And, you know, there's three promotions in between the engineering aid and the assistant civil. So while I was progressing in my responsibilities and my duties at work, I was also going back to school through the reimbursement program,
sure,
that we were afforded, which was amazing. So I was able to finish my bachelor's degree in applied mathematics with Farmingdale.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, Suffolk County, if you're an employee of Suffolk County and anyone listening that's, you know, kind of interested in a program like this, Suffolk County is a great place to go. You can have a job, continue your education, and while you're educating yourself, receive 75% of your tuition back. You've got to take the classes. You've got to pass the classes. Obviously, there's some criteria, but it's a way to help make it affordable to progress in your career like you've done.
That's right. And it's offered for part-time school as well. So it was very, very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And I mean, it's a negotiated gain. It's one of the good things about being in a labor union is, you know, folks in my position could sit down with management and say, hey, we need this type of program. And what we did within the past 4 years or so is we sat and we expanded the program, like you said, part-time, but also to include positions. You know, if somebody was, let's say somebody was doing some janitorial work or whatever, but they really were into accounting, right? And they wanted to progress, they could take those courses and get reimbursement. It isn't just germane to the job that you have. It's germane to the job that you want. So long as it's a function of, you know, Suffolk County government, you know, if you want to go into theoretical, you know, science and, you know, maybe get into some quantum, you know, nonsense or whatever, you know, the county's probably not hiring for that and that may not be covered. But generally speaking, a great way to, you know, similar to, I guess, how the military does it, right? You know, they get people that sign up that otherwise wouldn't because they know that there's going to be a path to higher education they otherwise couldn't get.
That's right.
Yeah, so let's talk about what the responsibilities are in the job that you have now.
Sure.
You know, again, ranging from engineering aid to assistant civil engineer.
So when I started, I was working in what we call the subdivisions office, which they are the inspectors that go around inspecting the installation of the sewer pipe and the sewer infrastructure for private property and private subdivisions.
Sure.
So I got a little bit of inspection under my belt before that then transferred me over to the markouts department.
Right.
And so I did markouts for 6 months, and then after that I was picked up by the permits office, which I've been steadily working in for the last eight
sure.
years or so.
Sure. And so, markouts, you know, markouts can be interesting. I did it as well. Anytime there's a water main break or some utility situation going on, and this usually happens in about 2 feet of snow in the middle of the winter, and you've got to go out and ensure that existing public infrastructure, specifically we're looking at sewers coming from this department, doesn't get damaged as repair work is being done on other things. And again, subdivisions, as you're building new developments in the sewer districts, you have to connect to the sewer district, but the installation of any sewer system on these newly developed properties has to meet county standards. So you need an inspector there, making sure the right materials are going in, that the ground is prepared and backfilled properly, and that the whole system works before it can go live and you can start charging people to live in these facilities. You know, everything's got to be, you know, it's a public utility, and when it's new, it should operate like it's new. And so ensuring that all of that stuff is done right. Yeah,
that's right. And now in sewer permits world, we accept the residential, the commercial, the industrial applications for mostly one-off connections, but sometimes, you know, multiple occupancy connections, in which we need to make sure that they have the proper equipment so that when they're connected, they're not discharging deleterious materials or grease or lint or anything like that that may disrupt the public service, the public utility. And so that's part of the job I'm doing now, is the review and inspection.
Yeah. I mean, these systems are all interconnected. And so if somebody new connects to the system and does something wrong, they can block the flow of everybody upstream of them. And so everybody's doing the right thing. New guy hooks up, doesn't hook up right, and the system blocks, and it just disrupts businesses and residents and everything else. So it is an important function of government to make sure that this stuff is done properly. Let's talk a little bit about your role as unit president. Again, another job I'm familiar with. I did it before you for that department. I'm still active on the unit board, but obviously spending much more of my time fulfilling my current role for the union.
Yeah, I was kind of thrown into it. I really wasn't expecting to be a unit president. I didn't even have a thought of it. I had been offered the position of unit treasurer when I had first gotten involved with the union. And I didn't really know what was going on, what to do, how serious this actually is.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was maybe just paperwork, you know.
Right.
I steadily grew into the role and realized, like, this is very important. These are our members. These are my coworkers. These are my friends, mm-hmm. in many cases, that if something goes wrong, they need the support. They need the backing of the union to help fight for them. And it's very valuable to me to be able to help my coworkers, to help my members.
Sure, it is. I mean, listen, you're affecting the lives of families, right? And that's the way I always look at it. It's not just the individuals we see and work with directly, but it has an impact directly on their families, right? And, you know, their surrounding community. To have, you know, job protections, to have, you know, a wage structure and benefit structure that allows you to, you know, approach a middle-class life. And obviously this so much work to be done, right? There's more that we need to achieve, and there's certain problems in Suffolk County that have exacerbated over, you know, four or five generations, right? Or at least decades. And we're addressing those issues, but even on the day-to-day level, the one-on-one, you know, not everybody is an expert on, you know, state and federal labor law, right? And it falls to us to kind of know these things. And if we don't know these things, know how to get answers on these things, because again, it's affecting these families.
That's right. And knowing how to find it. I have a stack of books this high, you know, in my desk, you know, anytime someone comes over to me, has a question, I'm not really sure. I don't want to just say an answer to say an answer. Give me some time. I'll look into it for you. You know, I'll get you that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big part of the job is research as well, you know, because again, we work with a myriad of professionals that are experts in exactly what they're experts in. But, you know, as an example, and I've said this to you before, but, you know, maybe not so much on this radio show, but my expert in DPW sanitation is going to be you, right? And all of our unit representatives, they're going to know those jobs and the stresses and pressures of those jobs better than I am. I know your department. I was in your department. I did the work of that department. But when it comes to something like, say, the health department or social services, we need the expertise of the people that are there day in and day out to kind of help us walk through how we can get wins for these folks and make these jobs, you know, more sustainable so that we can recruit new employees and retain the ones that we have.
So I want to just key in on something you had mentioned. So you leave us to be the experts in our units, and I think that's very, very important for the structure of our union, because if you didn't rely on us as the unit presidents or the unit boards to get you the answers you need, you would be too focused trying to learn everything rather than focused on, you know, working with the key players at the top on the other side of the table.
Yeah, no, that's correct. And listen, they have their experts also. They have department heads and division heads and whatever else. But with all unions, it takes a village, right? It is about having a collective voice. So, you know, we get into things like contract negotiations. We want to hear from the membership. And the membership's been very vocal with us as to what it is they want to see in terms of improvements and sustaining certain things moving forward, because it isn't just what my guess is. It's what they really need. And having the value of input, you know, boots on the ground, right there in the trenches with everybody, no pun intended, right there in the trenches with everybody, and getting that feedback back is, you know, that's more valuable to me in making decisions than my best guess would be. So,
right.
So let's talk a little bit more about your unit. I know we've talked about a few things that you've done, but generally speaking, that unit inside of DPW, what are their responsibilities and some of the maybe challenges that they face in providing services to the residents?
Sure. So we're almost entirely about sanitation and the sewer infrastructure and the installation of the new equipment. We have our engineers, our engineering aides in that track line. We have inspectors, markout crew. We have our industrial waste pretreatment techs. Industrial waste is a whole unit in itself, where the commercial and industrial properties need to be in line with the EPA standards and
monitored.
Right. Yeah. And then we have our lab at Bergen Point and ensuring that the sewage treatment plants are following the speedies permits set by the DEC. And so, you know, there's a lot going on. But what I've noticed and a lot of the struggles that we seem to be facing nowadays, when I had first started as unit president, we had about 110 members in my unit. We're down to about 80.
Yeah.
And so we have a diminishing workforce. It's more responsibility. I know Prop 2 just passed, and so we have all this new infrastructure proposed to be built. And you know, Prop 2 passed based on, you know, all the efforts that we had made. I think I was in the room phone banking that day. I think it was almost the same amount of people, if not less than when we were out for Romaine.
Right.
So
right.
We passed Prop 2, and that's all about sanitation and sewers. And and so it's going to be a lot more work for us. And if we don't have more bodies, if we don't have more members, we're going to be overwhelmed and things are going to be delayed.
Yeah. And, you know, government in the past used to solve this problem by hiring outside people. But outside people cost a lot more money and have no responsibility back to the taxpayer. So having public employees do this job is essential. Prop 2 passing means that this infrastructure is going to grow over time and will need to be, you know, maintained and repaired over time. So there is the need for extra people and the ability to keep those people busy during, you know, during their career. But one thing I'll say, you know, I'm encouraged by, you know, in past budgets we saw in Suffolk County, positions that were unfunded. They'd be in the budget, but there was no money for those positions. And in this last budget, there was over 2,000 positions in the budget, vacant right now, but actually funded. The plan of this county, at least on paper, through the budgeting process, is to hire people and fill these jobs. In addition to that, the county understands that there is a discrepancy between what Suffolk County pays and what just about everybody else pays for the same types of jobs. Apples to apples, right? Inside of government, with union protection, with benefits, and, you know, that same similar deal, Suffolk County is underpaying compared to those other entities and is actively engaged in working with us to close that gap and raise salaries to a point where we're now competitive with other government agencies, other municipalities. And in some senses, this is, you know, I mean, this is significant and historic in that this is happening outside of a contract, right? So this is not something where we're sitting down and negotiating. This is something that we've partnered on since the early days of the Romaine administration. And we're at the point now where, you know, materials are out to our third-party consultant and they're providing data back so that decisions can start being made. Because at the end of the day, you know, budgeting for these positions, saying we're going to hire new people and then having no one take the job leaves the taxpayer in the same position they were before. So passing Prop 2 helps bring in revenue to do this hiring, but you still have to be able to get qualified. You want the best of the best coming in. You want people that are beholden to the taxpayer that are going to only care about what's best for the taxpayer, and you want them to take the job. And so you need to pay them to do so. So, you know, again, a lot of big work that we do. When you talk about your responsibilities back at the office, you know, on the union side, that's directly related to what I do as well, you know, and this whole, you know, I guess it's a kind of complicated web the way I explained it, The fact of the matter is the work that you do results in the work that I do to then help raise salaries, get funding for positions, advocate for funding for positions, you know, raise the salaries to the point where people want to take the jobs and, you know, get the best and the brightest. You know, I mean, that's a shared problem. This union and the administration share the problem of we need people to do the work and they've got to be good people.
They have to be.
Yeah. So, you know, let's just get into a little bit of what maybe inspired you to get involved in the union in the first place. Like, I know my story. I want to hear yours.
Sure. So, you know, I don't know if there was necessarily an inspiration when I had first started. But then I started looking back in the history and, you know, I had grown up, my mother and my aunt worked for Suffolk County and were part of the union. Mm-hmm. They weren't involved on a unit board or anything like that, but they were involved at the union events.
Right.
I remember seeing, I don't have a copy with me today, but my mom had kept a copy of The Voice from so many years ago where I was in a stroller during one of their marches. And so I grew up with it. When I was a late teenager, I had joined the softball team for the medical examiner's team. And I was playing with my mom and my dad. And, you know, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I used to go to the picnics all the time. Mm-hmm. It was a big, fun event. And I just remember just a heartwarming experience every time I went there. And so I think probably a conglomeration of all of my history already had led me to believing that I could do this.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I got involved because I had heard, you know, things weren't being done right. So I said, okay, well, says you, let me look into it myself. And I saw some things that were maybe worse than I thought they were. And I saw some things that were maybe better than they were. And I just started throwing my hat in the ring and getting more and more involved. And then come a point in our history where so many things had gone wrong. So many things were given away out of contract. So much infighting and just negativity towards public workers in general. And I said, well, if I think I can do something to help and I choose not to, then I have no right to complain. And I love to complain. So let me try. And, you know, here I am. And we're trying to, you know, again, collectively, right? You just coming off the heels of the AME convention when we had 100 plus delegates in the room. You were vocal in advocating from your side of things. Obviously, I have my role to play there as well. But you got to see what it's like to bring people together across 30 different sections of different county government, all in the same room, having their voices, you know, in there together and get a sense of what it is we want to do, right? Not me, not you, us.
Yeah.
You know?
Us, AME, and, you know, at convention, it's hard getting on that pedestal and speaking in front of everybody. But when you have a perspective and no one is speaking your perspective, it has to be heard.
Yeah.
Because other people might be thinking the same thing, but might need a little bit of, you know, support.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Yeah.
And so I try to swallow that nerve and just do what needs to be, you know, say what needs to be said.
Yeah. So. And you saw it bore out, right? You got up on particular issues, you said your piece, and when the vote was cast, it was overwhelmingly in support of the position you had. So, you know, it takes that courage sometimes, right? You know, it's not an easy thing to sit in front of a microphone and, you know, speak to people on the radio about what's going on in the world and you know, speak from a very personal perspective. It's not an easy thing to stand in front of all these people that you know, that you can see, that you're going to run into again and, you know, but it's got to be done. And, you know, so kudos to the courage that takes and that you did it. And so, you know, I mean, I guess I wanted to ask one other question, but we may have answered already, but, you know, what's an example of positive change that's come about due to your union involvement?
Well, when I joined on the unit as a unit president, mm-hmm. when I joined the board of directors, and to no fault of anyone on the executive board, but things just didn't feel cohesive. Things didn't feel like the unit presidents were submitting reports like they should be every month.
Right.
It didn't feel like they were, you know, necessarily all that active. And I know the executive board has put in a lot of hard work through your leadership to try and get that rolling. But I like to think that I was a key part in that, in pushing for, hey, here's a standardized form that you just open up, you type it up, and you send it in. It's a quick thing, you know?
Right.
And I like to think that it's helped a lot of unit presidents stay consistent with their work. And I think through a business consistency, we're able to get more work done.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I first got involved, I remember it being kind of a culture of us versus them. Right. So, you know, I was a unit president And then there was the executive board, and the unit presidents were always against the executive board, and the executive board was against the, you know, and it wasn't functioning like a team. And you get the sense that, you know, some of the players in the room were trying to run the ball down the field for the other team, you know, in that sense, like management or whatever the issue we were up against at the time. And for this to work, we've all got to run in the same direction, which means sometimes uncomfortable conversations talking about, we all know where the goal is, right? And that's the, you know, the benefits, the protections, the respect, the responsibilities, all being handled properly. But sometimes there's a question about how do we get there? And you have to have these conversations. It's okay to have these conversations because there's different perspectives. And I don't always need to be right, like you know, right? For yourself as well. You don't have to be right. You just want the best answer. And so if someone comes along as part of that conversation and has a better idea, that's it. We're doing that now, right? But it has always been a goal of mine because of my early experiences going to board of directors meetings and being involved in this union. And seeing how divisive sometimes things were, and that wasn't the path to success. And we knew that wasn't the path to success. So as much as possible, folding everybody in and saying, hey, listen, we're in this together. Let's pull together and run in the same direction. We're going to get more done. So kudos to you, though. I mean, we have seen that as a positive effect, just to be able to get the information. Like you say, we rely on our experts, and for our experts to say this is what's going on in our departments, that informs my decisions. When I sit down and have conversations with the other side, I know what's going on, you know, and that's important. So let's also talk a little bit about, you know, public sector and private sector. You know, everybody has that choice at some point in time. Should I go into the public sector? Should I stay in the private sector? And let's talk a little bit about your thought process. I knew what drew me, you know, what drew you.
So, yeah, what drew me is it was an opportunity for a career-based job, and I wanted to jump in early, get my feet, you know, pretty sturdy on level ground and work my way up so that I could possibly, if needed, transfer that to the private sector or continue, you know, further growth within the county. And I wouldn't say it's off the table for me. I'm still keeping my options open, but I'm not, you know, actively looking to walk away at this stage in my career.
Right,
so
right.
It's difficult, you know. Compensation is a big factor, especially I'm trying to build a family.
Right.
I recently married, you know, and so compensation matters a lot. And I'm aware that, you know, our health insurance plan is incredible and that counts as compensation in certain worlds. But I'm also aware that the city has almost paritable insurance plans being offered at this stage of the game.
Yeah.
And so it's a difficult balance, you know, and it's conversation that's had many times at our house.
Oh, so, yeah. No, I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. And so now you're talking about, you know, that difference between private and public work. And now you're actually making the comparison between public and public work, which is the conversations I've been having for years now with, you know, a few administrations at this point. And luckily, this administration is listening and we're working to solve it. But when you have an issue where someone working in, say, Wyandanch, doing a particular job, could work in Massapequa and make $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 more doing the same thing, comparable everything, in a public job, that's a real conversation that happens at home, right? And so Suffolk County does have to get competitive in that way. So moving back into the union world again, you know, maybe you can just give us an example of something that you've seen where, you know, AME being involved in a particular issue has brought, you know, contributed to policy changes or funding decisions being made or something that became a benefit to public employees.
Well, I know we had already mentioned it, but the Prop 2 and all the backing and the support and the push to get the public and our own employees to vote for the positive, you know, push on that. But I also want to say that I came in with the county in 2015, which the contract at that time was either ending or had already ended.
And
we were fighting for the new contract, right? And that was, you had a big hand in that, right? And so I noticed when we had gotten that new contract, I knew what I signed up for.
Right.
But when we had gotten that new contract, I noticed that things were a little bit more palatable for us new hires.
Yeah.
A lot more palatable. You know, there's a lot more to do, but it didn't feel like the people who were hired maybe 3 years prior to me were so different anymore,
right.
You know, and that was exceptional. And I know we have that variable health supplement plan.
Yeah. You know, the issue was when a public employee retires, there's a small pension available for them. And the average pension, you know, you can hear about some people making hundreds, you know, like big, you know, high-end people. And that's, you know, usually with the news reports on those big high-dollar people that have these big pensions going out. But on average, it's about $35,000, $40,000 a year that people are getting. But cost of living goes up every year. So when we go to the state and we ask the state's comptroller's office, hey, can we do something for the retirees? Well, they say it costs money, right? If we're going to give them a little bit more, a cost of living adjustment, that's going to cost money. That's going to draw down what we have in reserves. And then the active people are going to want to fix things like Tier 6. And we did some Tier 6 reforms this year, and there's more to do there as well. But that costs money. And then the localities, employers like Suffolk County say, hey, a contribution rate into this system for this retirement, if you could bring that down, we'd have more money for other programs and other stuff. So all these things cost money. And we saw the opportunity in negotiation, rather than squeezing the state for a COLA, to create our own investment fund to give a COLA to retirees. And this year will be the first year, 2025, that this pays out. And it already, twice the amount of the New York State COLA. Right. So right out of the gate, what you get as a retiree when you get your COLA, this fund will produce twice that amount for you.
That's
so
incredible.
So it is a way of funding and thanking public employees for a lifetime of service in a way that doesn't impact the taxpayers in quite the, you know, in quite that same way. Right. So I would say that we should all be very proud of that. And, you know, I mean, listen, we talk about healthcare. One of the things I was talking with Comptroller Kennedy very recently, and he was, you know, kind of applauding what the Suffolk County unions did in negotiating a deal in changing who are, you know, so Suffolk County is a self-insured medical plan, but we use a provider to do the back-end office work and whatever, and we switched from one company to another, and we ended up getting better service at a lesser cost, and so we got more for public employees, and it cost the taxpayer less. You grow the pie, right? There's this one piece, there's this one pie, and everybody wants a piece of it. If you can make the pie bigger, everybody gets a little bit more. And it's that type of thinking that really advances us in the world. So, again, my rant is over. I stole your moment. But another union question. Have you seen any change in the way AME members are perceived in the world? A difference in the respect and recognition among local, county, state officials, other unions, any of that?
Not to get too into it or give up any private information, but I had a member a few years back, many years back, maybe 8 years ago, who was assaulted on the job. And he was just doing a mark out, you know, and he was assaulted. They grabbed his equipment, smashed it on the ground, and stole something else from him. It was rough. And our union rushed to back him, supported him when he was filing police reports, and I think through that and through all of the advocacy you guys are doing,
there was a change in the law. Yeah,
that's right. Up in Albany, related to the
assaulting of public employees
of the public employees, and yep. So you guys are fighting for us, and I think that's leading to you're also very out there in the public. You're going to these public events. We're putting our logo. We're participating, and I think the people are seeing us.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I find from my level, having the recognition in the partnerships we have with the other labor unions and finding our common ground and lending our weight like they lend their weight on these issues, the way we have common ground, and we get so much more done, whereas AME in the past was maybe, you know, off on its own, trying to do its own thing, and maybe, you know, There was a smarter way. Sometimes we can pool our resources, whether that is a little bit of my time or it is a little bit of us, you know, collectively pooling other resources to achieve an objective together, and we get more done. And you know, to have our members respected in their roles, especially in departments where there are other unions that are working alongside our union members, to see that respect given from their rank and file to our rank and file, I think goes a long way. Looking ahead, what do you see as some maybe key priorities and goals for your unit moving forward?
Well, we definitely need to fill positions. We need the members, and you know, but key goals and priorities. I think we have been supportive of other units in the recent past. Sani Blue, we understand their struggle. We work hand in hand with them. We might have different, you know, titles, units, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sani White, Sani Blue, that doesn't matter. We work together. I used to work at Bergen Point, and these guys are working some very difficult jobs, and they're expected to be, they're mandated to work in many cases.
Yeah.
And it's an important and valuable job to keep the plant, the sewage treatment plant, operational. And so when they are feeling like they're being abused, I felt like it was our responsibility to support them as brothers.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. No, I agree. And, you know, from my end, those conversations happening help with the administration understanding. But for the in-house management team that works down at Bergen Point and some of these out-of-districts to see that there is that camaraderie where it's not, hey, it's not just the guys that we're working with, but they've got the support of other people inside of AME, it becomes, you know, that school of fish.
Right.
Against.
And to answer the question.
Yeah.
I would like to hope for our unit to continue to grow our relationship with the other units that we work with. And once we've got those relationships built and we're strong together, build further with the units we don't work with, you know?
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, that's the goal. And that's one of the advantages of having something like the AME convention we referenced earlier, is getting everybody together and finding that in a lot of cases we have similar or the same problems. But my guest this morning was Matt Arendt. He's assistant civil engineer at Suffolk County's Department of Public Works, and he's the president of DPW Sanitation White Unit, my old unit. And Matt, I want to thank you for joining us and talking a little bit about our members and what we do for the public this morning.
Thank you, President Lovely.
And to our listeners, we'll speak to you next week.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.